Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll meet the Suicide Prevention Coordinator for the St. Cloud VA, hear from a local Yellow Ribbon company, and check in with our County Veteran Service Officer from Fillmore County. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Keeping a marriage strong enough to thrive through the unique challenges of a military deployment is important to our nation's military. The Army first introduced this idea in 1997 with their program, Building Strong and Ready Families. They brought together 90 active duty couples to participate in what could be called a retreat, and it was received with enthusiasm. Since then, the Army has welcomed more than 160,000 couples to their improved marriage program, now called Strong Bonds. Here in Minnesota, our chaplain-led Strong Bonds program is also helping couples grow together. One week in a month, all summer long, Strong Bonds retreats are being held at various locations throughout the state. During a weekend-long event, couples spend most of their time in discussions or practicing effective communication skills. As a couple and in a small group setting, they learn about expectations, commitment, forgiveness, and feeling understood. Those who have attended really get a kick out of the Saturday night assignment to go out on a date. In the National Guard, we encourage service members and their spouses to attend a Strong Bonds event in lieu of a weekend drill. This affords them extra time devoted to communicating with each other, makes our service members healthier and stronger leaders in our ranks. Our chaplains also have a program for our single service members to have an empowering weekend of internal growth. For more information on the Strong Bonds retreats, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. As I indicated earlier, we are going to talk about suicide prevention and getting to zero. And joining us to help with that conversation today is Mary Jo Pine, who is a registered nurse and the Suicide Prevention Coordinator at the St. Cloud VA. Mary Jo, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the opportunity for sharing.
Well, it's an important topic, and we want to make sure we cover it and that all our listeners know to recognize signs and where to call to get help. And Mary Jo, can you tell me a little bit about your background? I understand you're a registered nurse.
Yep, I'm a registered nurse. I started my nursing career in the mid-1980s. I came to work at the VA in 2001, and then I initially started working in long-term care, and then I transferred over into the dual diagnosis program here at the VA, the residential program. And then in 2007, when the VA started their suicide prevention program, a social worker, Pam Andahorn, started that program here at locally. And in 2008, they brought on a second suicide prevention coordinator, and that I applied for that, and I had gotten into that role. And I've been in the role since as suicide prevention coordinator since that time. And, you know, I have a very strong passion for our veterans and saving their lives and for just being there for them and wanting to figure out more how we can do more and how we can save more lives along the way. And I guess it's the passion that keeps me in the program. You know, so I keep working every day, coming to work and saving lives every day. Do we save all lives? Perhaps not, but we the efforts are there and we're making a difference.
Mary Jo, we've heard reports over the years about the incidence of suicide in veterans as opposed to the civilian population. Mm-hmm. Can you enlighten us on some of that data?
On to the veterans population? Well, let me start out by saying that in our country, the suicide rates have increased up to over 43,000 deaths per year. It is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. The rates have gradually gone up since 2001 and nationally, and actually took an acceleration in 2006 to 2014, where they went from 10.5 per 100,000 to 13.5 per 100,000. That's nationally. So every 12.3 minutes, somebody dies from suicide. That's in our country, and I think that's important to understand that this is not just a veteran issue, it is a national issue. It's estimated that close to about 1 million people make a suicide attempt each year. That means that somebody every 35 seconds is attempting suicide. Females tend to attempt more than they complete, and men will complete more than women in our country. And that also holds true with our veteran population as well. However, there is an increase in females and nationally that are ending their life. But the male population, older white males over the age of 50, are at greatest risk.
We're speaking with Mary Jo Pine, Suicide Prevention Coordinator from the St. Cloud VA on Minnesota Military Radio. Mary Jo, you just made a comment about age 50 and older.
Yes.
Are our older veterans more susceptible to this than the younger ones?
They are. And I do get data on a monthly basis about the Minnesota veteran suicides, and it really... it is over the age of 50, and actually in last fiscal year, 2016, the largest population of veteran suicides in the state of Minnesota were over the age of 60. They were 60 to 69 years old. That was the largest population. Then, but then there was the 70s to 80-year-olds were in there. So, yes, the greatest population of those that end their life by suicide is over the age of 50.
And, Mary Jo, I saw some statistics that indicated that our women veterans are accessing the VA mental health services in far greater numbers recently.
Yes, they are, but there's still a lot of them out there that are not. And just to give you an example, you know, in... that with the studies that were done in that very lengthy time frame from 2001 to 2014, the VA did a very long study. They indicated that female veterans who used VA healthcare, actually their suicide rate went up 4%, but those 4.6%, but those that did not use VA healthcare system, theirs went up 98%, and the same is true for our male veterans as well. The suicide rates of those individuals that receive VA health care, those veterans that receive VA health care, is much less than what those that do not receive VA health care.
And Mary Jo, the VA does know how to help veterans that might be.
Yes. Absolutely. We have the programs to help people. We have the ability to help people. But the problem, and I don't think what I'd like your listeners to hear, is that we need their help, because 20 veterans every day die from suicide. That's 20 too many. One is too many. But here's the reality. 3 of those 20 are mental health patients in the VA. 3 of those 20 are primary care patients. But there are 14 veterans out there that have not touched a VA, are not active in the VA health care system, and we may not even know where they are or how to connect with them. And that's the concern that I have and that many have. It's like, how do we reach those 14? And that's part of the new initiative that's come, is to get somehow connect more with our community partners, people like you, people like our veteran service officers, people like our healthcare systems that are in our communities that may be treating veterans and never have been touched by the VA. And we know that we have programs that we can help them, and we know that we can help them get through this.
Mary Jo, we have to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about the suicide prevention. But for our veterans and our listeners and their families out there, to receive free confidential support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 to talk to someone. We'll be right back with Mary Jo Pine to discuss suicide prevention with St. Cloud VA in just a moment. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Mary Jo Pine, who's a registered nurse and the suicide prevention coordinator at the St. Cloud VA. And our topic today, of course, has been suicide prevention and getting to zero. And Mary Jo, what is getting to zero? Is that, are we trying to eliminate suicide altogether?
What getting to zero is to help everybody understand that this is everybody's business. Suicide prevention is no longer considered to be a mental health issue or a suicide prevention coordinator issue. It is a systemic issue where all health care facilities play a role in this. And it doesn't mean that it's just behavioral health or mental health. It is all venues of the health care system, whether that's primary care or long-term care. It is everybody's issue, and we all need to take the approach that suicide is preventable, but we have to identify those that are at risk and help with interventions and support so that we can get these individuals support, get those veterans support. But if we don't recognize those that might be struggling, if we don't ask questions, we may not find them.
And Mary Jo, in the first segment, we talked about the number that's commonly used now is that we lose 20 veterans a day from suicide. Approximately 65% of all veterans who died from suicide were over 50 years old.
Yes.
And that approximately 66% of all veterans' deaths from suicide were the result of firearm injuries.
Correct.
Is there any way to help the families of veterans or veterans that are having trouble with limiting their access to lethal means?
Yes, there is, and I'm glad you brought it up. But it is an avenue that we go down, and that is we're not about gun control. We don't want to take away anybody's firearms, but we want to help people stay safe. And in doing that, the VA has a firearm program, a gun lock program. We have gun locks available that we can provide to veterans, their families, and so that they can secure those firearms in their homes if the veteran chooses not to allow perhaps someone else to hold on to those guns for a while until they're feeling better. But we can provide those, and I'm willingly going to give those out to anybody that wants one. And we're told to do that from our national offices. No questions asked, provide those gun locks to those to households, because 50% of all suicides in our country are by and it's not just in our veteran population, but in our communities, die from a firearm suicide. And veterans, that's about 67% will die from a firearm suicide.
So to receive free confidential support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 to talk to someone. Or if you like to text, you can text 838-255 to connect with a VA responder. That's 838-255. And Mary Jo, once the veteran or the family connects with you, you have studied this, the VA studied this, you know how to help them.
Absolutely. And there's no black and white situation or a remedy for this, because everybody's situation is different. What happens when somebody calls the Veterans Crisis Line, the responders generate a consult to the suicide prevention coordinator closest to where that veteran is. And then we have within 24 hours of that working day to follow up with that veteran. And when we do that, we find out what their needs are and assist them with getting those needs met. Because even if it's not necessarily a suicide-related issue, it's the realization that if somebody's needs aren't met, it could go to that. So we follow up with that. That's just one aspect of the care. And when we have somebody that's identified as high risk, we will follow up more closely with that person by making more frequent contacts, more frequent suicide assessments, until that person can stabilize.
So once again, that number is 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 to talk to someone, or you can text 838-255. We're speaking with Mary Jo Pine, the Suicide Prevention Coordinator for the St. Cloud VA on Minnesota Military Radio. Mary Jo, for our families and friends of veterans, what are the signs? How can you, if you see someone you think is in some kind of under stress or duress of some kind, what are the signs we need to be aware of, and what do we do about it?
Okay. Well, there are some things to be conscious of as far as imminent signs. So if somebody is thinking or about hurting themselves or killing themselves and talking about suicide or writing about death or dying, maybe they're looking for ways to end their life, seeking access to means like purchasing a firearm, stockpiling pills, going out and buying a rope. Those would be things that are saying that this person is thinking about this and more imminent. If somebody, like I said, talking about death, dying, or suicide, or maybe and accompanying that, they're engaging in self-destructive or risk-taking behaviors, especially when it involves alcohol, drugs, or weapons. Those are signs that would say that person's at an imminent risk. And I can't stress how important it is to realize when somebody is using substances, how that can play into alcohol or other substances can play a role in increasing somebody's risk. Somebody who may not, may in a sober state never think about suicide may be the first place they go when they're drinking or using substances because of all the other things that might be going on. Other signs, which may not necessarily mean that they are at imminent risk, and it may contribute to imminent risk, but they may not be imminently at risk, would be that sense of hopelessness, anxiety, agitation, sleeplessness, mood swings, feeling like there's no reason to live, rage, anger, engaging in risky activity without thinking, increasing alcohol, or drug abuse, I can't stress that enough, withdrawing from friends and family. That's a big one.
So, Mary Jo, if we see these signs, is it something as simple as saying, hey, are you having a problem of some kind? Is there something I can help you with?
Yeah, you know, I think that's the biggest piece right there. Don't be afraid to ask the question. Ask the questions. I was like, okay, I see this is going on with you. Are you thinking, if this was happening to me, maybe, what would you are you considering suicide? Have you thought about suicide? Or have you thought about hurting yourself? Because this is what I'm seeing. And if this is something, can you talk about that? Or I want to be able to help you. Yes. And, yeah.
And then either the veteran or the family dial the number 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 to talk to someone.
Yep,
or if they prefer to text, it's 838-255.
Yep, and I would say if family, oftentimes it's difficult for families to ask the question, but I want them to trust their gut. You know, if their gut tells them that they need to do something or that something's going on, then if they can't ask the questions, then find somebody that can, because it's important that they act when they see those warning signs. Now, when you're looking at other warning signs might be that age, gender, race, older white males are at greater risk than any other age, comorbid health issues and complex medical issues, no reason for living, chronic pain. I can't tell you how difficult it is for chronic pain people to continue living and find reason and purpose. People that have to deal with chronic pain struggle. And a lot that, you know, the musculoskeletal injuries of veterans returning, that creates a chronic pain situation for many. So we need to pay attention to chronic pain.
Mary Jo, we've just got about 30 seconds left. Okay. I know there's a new program out that makes your services available to someone who might have received less than an honorable discharge.
Yes, we have. There's a new program within the VA healthcare system that if a veteran has been discharged less than honorably and they have a mental health crisis or they are have an emergent situation regarding a mental health condition, that they can come to the VA and be seen and treated while that discharge is being reviewed. So they can get the treatment they need. They can be seen on an acute unit. They can get into treatments that that to help them and support them at that time of an emergent situation.
So call for help.
Mary, and honorably discharged.
Mary Jo, I'm sorry we're out of time. We could talk about this for a lot longer, but appreciate your calling in today to talk about suicide prevention and getting to zero.
Okay. Thank you.
That was Mary Jo Pine, a suicide prevention coordinator from the St. Cloud VA. And that number to call if a veteran or a friend or family of a veteran needs some help is 1-800-273-8255, and press 1 to talk to someone. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll hear from a local Yellow Ribbon company. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to hear from a local Yellow Ribbon company. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shillitoe.
At MDVA, our short-term financial assistance or subsistence program provides temporary help to eligible veterans and their dependents. This may include help with rent or mortgages, current utility bills, and health insurance premiums. This benefit is income and asset-based and is designed to assist veterans for up to 6 months for those who are unable to work their normal occupation due to a temporary disability or a permanent disability in which they are waiting to receive a disability benefit from VA compensation, VA pension, Social Security, or another long-term benefit. Veterans must provide proof of the temporary disability by their doctor on a medical report and must have worked within 1 year of the date of the medical report. Surviving spouses may also be eligible for this benefit. To learn more, contact your county veteran service officer or visit minnesotaveteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shillitoe. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now from one of our Minnesota's Yellow Ribbon companies is Jason McBurley from Cargill. Jason, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here.
Sir, I want to reintroduce you to the audience. You recently retired from a long career in the military service.
Well, recently is going to wear out at some point. Yeah, it was 2 Octobers ago now. So we're working on 2 years. Yeah, after 28 years of service.
28 years, was that all in the Minnesota Army National Guard?
No, I probably have a more unique experience than most. I enlisted in the Marine Corps, spent my first 8 years there. After thinking I was done running around, I came back to Minnesota and ended up in the 934th Airlift Wing for a few years. And that didn't really fit as a transitioning Marine. And then I found my way to the Minnesota Army National Guard with a new battalion that was standing up in Brooklyn Park, the 1st of the 216th Air Defense Artillery, which at the time was commanded by Lieutenant Colonel Dave Elisario, who later, of course, became the division commander here.
So that's a little confusing, a Marine, an airman, and a soldier.
That's right. It gets really, really confusing at the if you are a please stand up, and you got to kind of pick.
But you found a home in the Army National Guard.
I did. I found a great home in the Minnesota Army National Guard. I was very fortunate. It was great timing. Like I said, General Osorio was the battalion commander at the time. Captain Neil Loidl was the OIC at the time, and
who's now a major general.
He's now a major general and previous division commander as well. And so I just had a very fortunate timing of coming into the Guard and made a lot of great friends, a lot of great acquaintances, and some lifetime friends and mentors.
So you made it all the way from an enlisted man in the Marines to a major in the Army National Guard and put in a lot of years. And then the last 2 years, you figured out how to grow some facial hair and some hair on top of your head.
Yes. Well, that's true. I mean, I had kept a very fine haircut for many years. And yes, you remind me of the fact that when I was at Marine Corps basic training, there was a day that I couldn't climb the rope and I ended up on my back. And the series commander was standing over me telling me I was never going to make it. And I think that was probably actually the impetus of making it and then the duration. I was never going to let that guy be right.
Making it and getting it done. Well, thanks for serving your country, sir. And how long have you been a member of Cargill?
Well, I've been at Cargill now almost, it was just 12 years, actually. I was serving active duty with AGR program at the Minnesota Army National Guard. And my then XO was a Cargill employee. And we began talking. He said, you really need to come to work for Cargill. And I was reluctant at best, but on the 4th of July, actually, 5th of July, 2005, I went to work for Cargill.
And Cargill's been a Yellow Ribbon company for a couple of years now?
Yeah, it was 2014 where we started our journey as a Yellow Ribbon company. And it was actually the Yellow Ribbon application program or outline that actually helped us build the Veterans Network at Cargill.
And I understand you found a lot of fellow veterans that work at Cargill.
Well, we've brought on quite a few veterans. We've been specifically kind of targeting some of the senior leadership for the Minnesota Army National Guard. We've got some great folks over there. Colonel Bob Intrist, First Brigade Commander, has recently probably been with Cargill for a year. Colonel Eric Allness has been with us for a while, and we've got some others.
And a lot of them have been my guests on the show over the past 7 years.
I'm sure
so
many of them have.
So we know those names.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Cargill formed an organization called Veterans Military Support Network.
Right. So the Veterans Military Support Network, in about 2013, things had been kind of like intermittent between 9/11 and then 2013 of trying to get a Veterans Network or program established within Cargill. And the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network came along. We started talking about the necessity of being a member of that network. Its organizational structure fit well with us, and we were able to put that together, and then the network was born from that.
We're speaking with Jason McBurley from Cargill on Minnesota Military Radio. Can you tell us your Veterans Military Support Network? What are some of the things that that you've been working on?
Well, you know, one of the things we're most proud of is the sponsorship of this program, and that was born out of the network. And our ability to work with and leverage the public affairs and public relations people within Cargill. And some of the other things we do, I mean, we're a business resource group for Cargill. We participate with an organization called American Corporate Partners that we can talk about as well. We're a member of the Twin Cities Business Council. We host the Value of Veteran program, and then we do a networking event for American Corporate Partners and then other organizations that have mentors within their businesses. And so we work in collaboration with a number of those other companies. And, you know, we really believe strongly in education and information. So the more that we can inform people, the better we think that we can serve the veteran community, not only in Cargill, but across the state of Minnesota and across the country.
And another group or an organization that you support is the Minnesota Military Family Foundation.
We do support the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. We're happy to participate, I think, for our third year this year. It's a great cause, and it's just one that I enjoy participating in, and I know that everybody does. But we specifically enjoy this organization because of its support directly of veteran families and service members of Minnesota in need, and that those funds go directly there.
And, of course, when you were in the military, as well as Colonel Allness and Colonel Intrist, you saw firsthand during deployments where some of those families got into financial emergencies, and the Minnesota Military Family Foundation was able to cure those and take care of it and pay the bill, and then all your troops could focus on the mission and get home safe.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting about that, I was thinking and reflecting on this. I was in OIC at the time, and we had the Delta Battery 216th Air Defense that had deployed, and I actually had a family that became in need, and the Minnesota Military Family Fund was there to fill that gap and fill that void. It's something that we weren't able to do as a unit by ourselves, and so that was, you know, fantastic to have that there. And that, you know, resonates for us in Cargill as well.
Jason, before we have to take a break in a minute here, but before we go to break, I understand that Cargill was awarded the ESGR Freedom Award.
Yeah, we are very, very proud of the fact that in our third year of nomination, we were able to win the Freedom Award. And so on the 24th and 25th of August, we'll be traveling to the Pentagon with our CEO, Dave McClellan, and the Adjutant General of Minnesota and the Adjutant General of Kansas to receive the award. And it's a very high honor. We're very proud of it. It's reflective of those things that Cargill espouses as values in support of veterans.
And that's only given out about once a year and to very few companies, but how did you earn it? How did Cargill earn that award?
Well, the nomination process is for an individual service member to nominate the organization. And in this instance, she was highly supported by the organization and by Cargill overall. But it's also just the things that we do on a day-to-day basis, how we support veterans, Veterans Reemployment Act, USERRA, pay differential, the things that we do inside the company on a day-to-day basis that is recognized by the Freedom Award.
Well, Jason, it's great to see an old company like Cargill, been around over 100 years, I think.
Yep, supporting 150 years, actually.
150 years, yeah. Supporting all of our Minnesotans and our veterans and our service members and going out of their way to employ veterans, which is something we're going to talk about when we get back. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk to more with Jason McBurley about Cargill and about Cargill being our title sponsor and their efforts to hire veterans to add to their employee force. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking with Jason McBurley from Cargill about all the great veteran things that they're doing out there, the fact that they're a yellow ribbon company, that they're hiring veterans. They are a participant in Minnesota Military Radio. And, Jason, I think we should talk about that right there. You and I have been talking about this show for years back when you were still in the in the Guard.
Right.
And we sat down one day and talked about the fact that this show is heard on 42 stations all over Minnesota, and Cargill has facilities all over the state. So it was a unique opportunity to reach out to people all across Minnesota and further your efforts to hire veterans.
Yeah, it was really a great opportunity for us to join with the network in areas that we are running facilities and country elevators. So in communities like Pipestone or Worthington, Alberta, Minnesota, all throughout the state of Minnesota, and then the peripheral in the Dakotas and Iowa. And we have a great need for qualified individuals to help us in those types of facilities. And it's a natural fit for many of the members of the Minnesota Army National Guard. Where we have those opportunities, their values and principles align very well with ours. Their work ethic aligns very well with our expectations, and so it becomes a very natural fit.
And one of the things we learned when you were proclaimed as a Yellow Ribbon Company was that Cargill really wants to hire some veterans. Can you tell us why they're looking for veterans, and what are veterans going to see when they come to Cargill?
Well, I think the important part of the veteran hiring process for us is that we recognize that the skills and attributes of veterans fit nicely with our values and principles and guiding principles. So when we look into the workforce, we typically believe that we can teach people the skills necessary to be successful at Cargill, but we can't necessarily always teach the behaviors, and those have to come with the individual. And within veterans and service members, we found that typically fits for us. They come with a value of honesty and integrity and courage and conviction and hard work. And so those things align very well, and they fit nicely into the organization.
And one of the other things that Cargill's doing is you sponsor the American Corporate Partners, which we mentioned in the previous segment. Can you tell us what that's about?
So American Corporate Partners was established to help transitioning veterans and to have them work more closely with a mentor in the business world. And so transitioning veterans work with a mentor, and Cargill is the last sponsor of the American Corporate Partners here in Minnesota. So we have about 52 mentors. In the course of the last 3 to 5 years, I think we've managed to hire 6 or 7 of those mentees through the system. And today, we continue to sponsor and work with American Corporate Partners across businesses in the Twin Cities to help network, to help encourage more mentors across different businesses. It's a great way for us to look outside of Cargill and really participate and support veterans in the community by partnering with other businesses that we might not otherwise do.
Now, Jason, it seems to me from the outside looking in that there's some similarities here because Cargill's been around, you said, for 150 years, we said in the first segment. It's a large, large organization, large business. Military's pretty big, too. And when you get that big, you have to be disciplined, you have to be organized, and you have to have systems. So it would seem that veterans would fit into that organization pretty easily in a transition from the military.
From a systemic standpoint, they fit fantastically. From their skill set, fit fantastically. But again, I don't know that I could overemphasize the fit from a values standpoint. You know, Cargill is founded on guiding principles that we conduct all of our business by. And we have some very core values in our leadership expectations and our leadership model. And those things fit most specifically. And so regardless of where or how you've served and at what level, those values and principles apply equally well.
So for all of our listeners out there, if you're interested in a career at Cargill, the website to go to is ichoosecargill.com. And if they go on there, they can find out all the information about what might be available and where those jobs are, maybe all over Minnesota.
There'll be jobs all over Minnesota and opportunities all across the country to be available to anyone that might want to venture out of Minnesota. But yeah, we've got we've got great jobs here. We've got a number of opportunities for folks within the Veterans Network. We have hired a veterans recruiter who specifically is focused on recruiting veterans and service members. So we've got a support network there to help veterans transition into Cargill.
And Jason, another part of the fit is veterans are known to volunteer at higher rates than most of their civilian peers. And you've got the Cargill has that culture of giving back as well.
Yeah, so we are highly active in our communities. I mean, building thriving communities is a principle for Cargill. And you're right, veterans have a propensity to want to serve, want to volunteer. They do in their service to begin with. And so they are great partners for us to help serve our communities.
So once again, for all our veterans out there listening, if you're looking to start a new career, go to ichoosecargill.com. Any final thoughts, sir?
Well, Tom, I'd just say thanks again for having us. We really, really are proud to be a sponsor of your program, participating with the Minnesota Military Family Fund, and any way that we can participate and help with not only Minnesota veterans, but veterans everywhere.
Great to have you here in the studio, sir.
Great, thanks.
That was Jason McBurley from Cargill on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is Jason Marquardt, who is the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Fillmore County Veteran Service Officer. Jason, welcome back to the show.
Thanks again, Tom.
Jason, it's summertime down there. How's all the veterans doing in Fillmore County?
Well, so far in Fillmore County, they're doing good. A lot of them just enjoyed our county fair, and the weather's been pretty decent, especially the last couple of days, and they've been coming in to see me and talking about their benefits.
I'll bet that new Veterans Cemetery down there looks pretty nice this time of year.
Oh, it's green, and the wildflowers look nice. If people get a chance, it's right off of U.S. Highway 52 in Preston, Minnesota. They should come check it out.
All right, sir. We want to talk today a little bit about what a veteran needs to file a claim for service disabled or service connected disability.
That's right.
Where do you start? How do you do that?
Well, first off, you start by contacting your county veteran service officer to set up an appointment so they know that you're coming, especially when you're going to work on a claim for service connection, because there's a lot of parts to it. And you want to make sure if you have a copy of your military DD-214, you bring that with, because that is one piece of information that we need to make the claim for service connection go forward.
So there's a county veteran service officer in every county. So you find him, he's usually by the local courthouse, find your discharge. And even if you can't find it, go see the county veteran service officer. They can help you find it, right?
That's right. And once they have that, we can file what's called an intent to file. So like you look at this week, it's the last week of the month. We want to try and get that veteran as much benefits as we can. So this week, a lot of us will file an intent to file, where it goes back to the first of the month, and it gives us plenty of time. It gives us a whole year to get all the information we need.
So if you file a successful claim, the benefits start on that date?
That's correct. They start on the first of the month that you filed.
So what type of medical documentation do you have to have?
For a veteran for medical documentation, if they have any private treatment records from their local physician, you know, their local doctors, bring that information with, because then the veteran service officer can look through it and make sure that it's information that we want to send forward to the VA that complements your claim and doesn't hurt it. There is no need to obtain any VA medical records or service treatment records because the VA will get them themselves. So all we want to see is that private treatment records to help substantiate the claim.
So you fill out the claim form, help the veteran pull together all the documentation and any other support information they can, and then get that in.
Yep, that's exactly what we do. We get all the elements that needs to make the claim go forward in the best possible manner to get the veteran the benefits that they are seeking and deserve.
And in general, how long are those claims taken now before they get heard and decided?
Right now, most claims are averaging 125 days or less. The VA has really come down on their backlog, which is a good thing. There is still complicated claims that take a little longer, but the county veteran service officers know pretty much which claims are going to be the complicated ones that take longer.
All right. So for all your veterans out there, if you've got some kind of service-related disability, get a hold of your county veteran service officer, and they'll help you file a claim, document it, and walk you through the process. Jason, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you again, Tom. I appreciate the time.
That was Jason Marquardt, our Fillmore County Veteran Service Officer and President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Mary Jo Pine, Jason McBurley, Jason Marquardt, Commissioner Larry Shelotto of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we hear the latest on the Red Bull Centennial and meet the team behind Veterans Journey Home. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.